Now, please turn with me to the scriptures. Today's passage is taken from Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. May God bless us in the reading of His word. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Today we are blessed to have Brother David Leong speak to us from the passage we have just read. And yeah, this is the first time he's joining us, so please welcome him as Reverend John introduces him.
Okay. Really very thankful to God once again to have a man of God, a servant of the Lord who has the fear of the Lord in his heart to grace our pulpit. And really, Brother David Leong is one such man. I met up with him back in August, back in April. We had fellowship over lunch, and I enjoyed the conversation we had. And really, he's a man full of energy. I don't see his build, no? That's packs of power in him. The power that comes from the Holy Spirit, a heart that is yielded to the Lord for His work. And really, he is fervent in serving the Lord. And currently, Brother David Leong is an adjunct faculty member of DTC. And he's a local preacher and an itinerant children and families educator of Grace Methodist Church, Singapore. From 1990 to 2013, he was a missionary sent out by his home church to serve the Lord full-time. With Scripture Union, Singapore, he was its executive director from 1998 till June 2013. He holds a Master of Christian Studies degree from Regent College, Vancouver, Canada. He's also a Haggai leader. David is a passionate and humorous speaker and trainer in Christian education, children's ministry and marriage and family subjects, who has ministered at local and overseas churches and theological institutions for nearly 30 years, right? So, and David and his wife, Cynthia, have three children, Ivan, Alisa, Dolisa, who are young adults now. His eldest son and daughter-in-law have given birth to their first son, Jaira, who is now 7.5 months old. So without further ado, I will hand the time to Brother David Leong.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, and a very good morning to all brothers and sisters in Christ, both here as well as online. I think I did say good morning, right? It's okay, I know. Because I'm first time here, so I just feel a little bit jittery. And many, many years ago, when my mom became a Christian during the Singapore Billy Graham Crusade in 1978, there were two churches that she could choose to go to. One was Wai Yen Tong, which is this church in Cantonese, or Gam Yen Tong, which is the church next door. Methodist church. And being a Methodist, I brought her to Gam Yen Methodist Church. Then it was mainly Cantonese, but now, of course, they have both Cantonese, Mandarin, as well as English services. And I really want to thank God for this tremendous privilege and honor. Actually, I first met Pastor John's wife, Sister Jenny, as well as, Rachel. I'm sorry. See, first time here, you're going to excuse me. Rachel and also Sister Jenny, too, at the D6 Singapore Family Conference last July. And somehow we got connected, and then they said, we really would like to invite you to come to speak at our church. I said, wow, that would be a tremendous honor, because being in scripture in Singapore for 23 years or so, I've not been invited by your church. I'm sorry. Not to blame anybody, but seriously, I was really too busy. And of course, your church has been involved in missions worldwide. And of course, Dr. Patrick Fong was the international director of OMF. What an honor to be sharing from this pulpit where giants of the faith who have been trailblazers in the missions field coming out from this church. And so I thank God for such a large pulpit that covers my shivering legs. And so when Pastor John met up with me, yes, in April, we were talking about how or what would he like me to share with your English congregation. And he actually booked me one shot three times. A man of great faith, because he's never heard me preach, neither have you. Is that so? And so I treat it as a triple honor. And so I hope that today I'll do not only a good job, but a great job by the grace of our great and almighty God. Could you please agree and say amen? Amen. That's very comforting and encouraging. Thank you. So the topic that we have kind of agreed with each other is building strong marriages. Because it starts from the marriage unit or marital unit before we talk about strong families and then strong churches and then strong nations. So, as already been mentioned, I've been married since... Yes, it is working. Yellow is forward, right? Yes, I'm pointing there. Yes. Yes. Ah, yes. Ta-da! That one is a Singapore imitation version of Guilin in China. So this is Bukit Batok. On the west, yes. And so you can already now count how many years we've been married. So let me ask, by a show of hands, how many are married more than 40 years? Not quite, huh? Yes. Come on, give them a big round of applause, yes. They're the trailblazers, and they're still married. Hallelujah, praise God. So that's more than 40 years. What about between 30 and 39? Wow, clap. Then what about, 20 to 29? Yeah, wow, good. Then, okay, below 20. Yeah. Who is not married yet? We call it in Malay, akan datang, huh? Coming soon, right? Yes, still got hope. Hello, don't we believe in the God of hope? Yes or no? No pressure. By the way, if there are singles who are here, because you feel that God has given you that calling and the gifting of being single, yeah, go for it. But as one of my most esteemed Christian educators who has gone home to be the Lord, Mrs. Eileen Kuhn from the OMF, who used to lecture at Singapore Bible College, she got married very much later in her life. And among some of my friends also, so actually when you get married later in your life, you actually get promoted straight away to mother-in-law, grandmother-in-law. Because you would have got, your husband might have been already married and then widowed, and then you already have children and grandchildren. And so I really want to thank God that just like 7.5 months ago, we have our first grandson. Ta-da, come on, grandson, come out, hello. Yes, oh, a point there. I see, I keep pointing to the screen, I beg your pardon. Thank you very much for waving, yes. That's right, his name is Jaira, and he's a bubbly little fella now. I think he's gotten my DNA, and so he's very active, so much so that he's got a lot of eczema on his face and his legs, because I had, and my children all had, so it must be from me. We thank God that when we became one flesh, the problem is actually, contemporarily speaking, some people say, well, marriage is when one man and one woman become one, but the trouble starts when they try to decide which one. Thank you for laughing. And then, you know, after a quarrel, and quarrels are common, normal, in a sense to be expected, but it depends on what you do after the quarrel. So in this case, after the quarrel, a wife said to her husband, you know, I was a fool when I married you. And the husband replied, yes, dear, but I was in love and I didn't notice it. But really, there will be situations in any marriage, whether over 40 years, 20 years, or less than 10 years, where this situation might occur before marriage, 婚前婚后, after marriage. Before marriage, after marriage. And it can keep on going like this, back and forth, unless we do something about it and try to reverse or stop it there. COVID-19 actually created a lot of much stress, and marriages have unfortunately, according to our State of the Family survey by Focus on the Family Singapore over the last few years, showed that marriages have unfortunately hit or have taken a greater hit during the COVID-19 years. And just before that, we actually have fewer couples getting married, but more couples getting divorced. Now that's up to 2019. And so since then, you find that our press and newspapers would have actually indicated that more couples see counseling as the circuit breaker, the working from home put strain on marriages. Although there are many positive things that came out of the COVID-19, but in terms of for marriages, fewer marriages and more divorces took place in 2019 than in 2018. And the trend was likely to continue, the analysts say. However, the good news is in 2022, the number of divorces dipped. It dropped to 9.9% from 2021. Which means that 2021 actually was still on a high. And all this actually will show that that cycle of, you know, before marriage, after marriage, and if you're not careful, it can lead to more divorces or more breakups. And although these statistics are our national statistics, those in the Christian ministry among pastors in Singapore, and I think Pastor John might also have heard, that within the Christian community, the divorce rate is not much different from our national statistics. And so we have to then come to terms as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a community of God's people saved by His grace. What is it that we need to focus on and to make sure that our marriages are not just strong, but become stronger in the wake of all the uncertainties in what is now known as the VUCA world? Well, I leave it for you to go and check out what VUCA stands for. Not the spirit VUCA, but it's V-U-C-A. Thank you. Now, some common divorces, common reasons for divorces way back in 2017 would include adultery, marrying at a young age, domestic violence, lack of intimacy, physical and emotional, communication problems, and too much quarrel. We just said quarrel is common, but too much of it, and then because you don't know what to do after that, would be a problem. And then financial issues or disagreements as to how much to spend or how to spend their money. But then in 2021, the top most reason among female plaintiffs, 58.1%, was unreasonable behavior. Now that's open to interpretation. What do you mean by unreasonable? Without reason or not enough reason? Or your reason is not my reason? I mean, it can be open to any kind of interpretation. And for the men, it was, okay, so if you're unreasonable, I live separate from you. Living apart separately or to be separated for 3 years or more. In fact, more recently, if you check the news, there is even a more relaxed rule or ground for divorce. Now, that's scary. Because if this quote is correct by this lady, Diane Stoley, who founded and was director of Smart Marriages in the U.S., if this quote that says marriage is the foundation of the family and the family is the foundation of society, and our Singapore government actually strongly upholds that, so if we strengthen marriage, we strengthen the family, we strengthen the children, we strengthen the community. So if your goal and my goal and a church's goal is to help improve the world until Jesus returns, marriage is as good a place as any to start. That's why we are starting this series of three sermons by B on building strong marriages or stronger marriages. Now, of course, some of you who have been married for a long time, you say, yes, you know, by being more forgiving, that's one important ingredient. Just close 2 eyes after you have married each other. Before you marry, open 2 eyes. Then after that, close 2 eyes. Because you notice all the faults. Is that so? And et cetera, et cetera. And remember, it's your choice. You chose this woman, you chose that woman when you got married. So you now cannot unchoose. Well, actually you can, because God gave us a choice. So there are many factors or ingredients, but I want to go back to one of the forefathers of marriage and family from the US, Dr. James Dobson, who's still alive, and he founded Focus on the Family, USA, from 1977 until 2010, where of course it was handed over to somebody else, and he started another similar kind of organization. But in one of his books, Love for a Lifetime, he gives us three ingredients which I'm going to share with you. Number one, a Christ-centered home. And the verse there I will refer to will be Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12, where it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Of course, this verse doesn't only refer to marital union. It can be friendship, it can be, you know, cell group, it can be any form of human relationships where you need a third party. In this case, where we apply to marriage, the third party or the third cord is Jesus Christ, who should be the center of the marriage. So some of you would probably have this in your homes or have seen it in some other people's homes. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. How true is that? I see some heads nodding. Some maybe have not said it before, but some never have not considered the implications of it. Well, Christ is the head of this house, yes. The unseen guest at every meal at the cabin. Do we even invite him at our meal table? For example, when we say grace. Some marriages, some couples, some families don't even say grace together. And so I think one of the things that maybe Sister Jenny and Sister Rachel, who saw me doing it at the D6 Saturday Conference, was I led them in singing grace, the Superman grace. And if you don't know what that is, come to the D6 Conference. Sorry, registration closed already. You can come next year, because it happens every last weekend of July. All right, so what about the silent listeners of every conversation? In some marriages, when they talk, you know, first year of marriage, I don't have it on the slides, so you're going to listen. First year of marriage, the woman speaks and the husband listens. Oh, very sweetly, very patiently. Second year of marriage, the husband speaks, the wife listens. Now you listen to me. The third year, both husband and wife speak, their neighbors listen. Well, if Christ is Christ really unseen and silent? Maybe we made him that way. Although yes, his spirit, we can't see him. But we all believe that Christ is present with us. He's always with us. And why is it that we treat him as unseen? Or like not seen, not heard? We don't consult him, we don't pray to him. We don't ask him for advice or wisdom. If we are the living epistles, according to St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, I'll leave that for you to read. So coming back to our main scripture text, there are some ingredients where we can draw from the writer of these two verses in Proverbs 24. By wisdom, a house is built. Now, of course, you may say a home, because house is just made of bricks. But if you read on, it refers more, because there are rooms. By understanding, it is established. If it's just a house, then what is the establishment? It's just the foundation, I mean the cement and the concrete and the steel bars or whatever. And then by knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. Not just your sofas and your beds and your lighting and what have you. So it has got reference to a home. The word build there is the word to restore. So of course, many of us do restoration works, you know, renovation works, because things have, you know, wear and tear, etc., etc. So there is that process that we all need, even in marriages, to go for marriage enrichment weekends, to have marriage workshops and seminars, etc., etc. So the idea of rebuilding something that so that it flourishes, not just stay as per normal. You don't just get happily, you know, just live happily ever after. No, that's very fairy tale-like, isn't that so? So if we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, where the same word was used when God took Adam's rib and rebuilt, actually, or shaped the bony substance into that wild man, woman. You didn't get that? It's okay. If your woman, if your wife doesn't wow you, then you really have to ask for divine wisdom to look at her again, even at whatever age she is at now, that hopefully she still wows you. And if she doesn't wow you, you better wow her to wow you. So divine wisdom is needed to restore or rebuild a home or the marriage in the home so that it is established or set in order. God has placed, just as we read the scriptures in Ephesians and all that, God has set certain system in order between husbands and wives, children and parents, etc. To place in an erected or upright position something that is failing or falling or twisted. There's a lot of twistedness in modern marriages, and marriages are falling apart. So we need to have it established strongly so that it will be upright, it will be erect. And to do that, we really need to fill the rooms with precious treasures and pleasant ones. Overflowing is the idea, not just filling. Overflowing with the idea of fulfillment and abundant satisfaction. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Of course, referring to eternal life, which includes our life on earth. It's another translation, life to the full. So we need relevant, updated knowledge. Some of you may have been married for 40 years, 30 years, and of course you've gone through premarital counseling, etc. But then, since then, any post-marital counseling, any marriage enrichment weekends, etc., etc., renewal of marital vows, etc., etc. So relevant knowledge will be needed to make that happen. And so that there will be precious and pleasant memories because of the richness or the riches that have been put in to the couple's relationship, as well, of course, then subsequently with the children and the rest of the family. So that there is mutual respect, there will be pleasant memories, there will be good relationships, there will be positive attitudes, and there will be depth of character. So if somebody would ask you, or if I would ask you now, and you ask each other, what is the depth of character of our marriage? How would you describe your marriage? So-so? Well, like that law, sorry, this is English. We go by law and order, but you know, like that law, like the law, you know. We're married. So I want to now let you pause for a moment and watch a video clip about 5 to 6 minutes. So hang in there, because in your reflection or discussion questions in the bulletin, you actually are supposed to like answer the first question. What do you get out of this video clip in terms of the essence as well as the purpose of God's intention for marriage? All right, so let's watch this.
My grandma and grandpa were married for more than 60 years. Their names were Joseph and Mary, and they had 10 kids. They had a beautiful marriage, and they would flirt with each other constantly. I grew up watching this. I remember as a boy seeing my grandpa come up to my grandma in the kitchen. He kind of whap and he hits her in the thigh and he says, "Hi, my name's Joe." And she looks at him and she's like, "Well, I know." I'm like, "Oh, they're 100 and they're flirting. I love it." And when she passed away 2 years ago, I was there at the funeral right by the side of my grandpa. And just before they closed the casket, He stood beside me, and he's real weak, hip and knee replacements, and he leans over the casket, and he's shaking, and he kind of leans over. He just gives her a kiss on the nose, and he said, "Bye, babe." And I saw that, and I just said, "That's it. That's what I want. I want a love that's stronger than death. But how do we get there from here? How do we get a marriage like that? We got to begin by understanding what marriage is." According to the church, the marriage is a total gift of yourself. Look at the wedding vows. You promise that this love that you're giving is a free love. It is a total love. You hold nothing back from one another. It is a faithful love, not just with your body, but even with your imagination and your heart. And it's a fruitful love that's open to the gift of life. And if you think about this, this is not an imposition of the church onto us. This is the very cry of our hearts for authentic human love. So if that's the essence of marriage, what's the purpose of marriage? The purpose of marriage is for the procreation and the education of our children. That's where we get the word matrimony from, the duty of the mother. So part of the purpose of marriage is for the raising of children. The other purpose of marriage is for the mutual perfection and sanctification of the spouses. Because when you get married, your faults rise to the surface like oil in water, so that you can be sanctified and grow in holiness. Now, if you think that the purpose of marriage is your personal happiness, well, you know, I hope your marriage is happy, but honestly, that's not the purpose. Because if you think that that's the purpose, and it starts getting rough and tough and difficult, and all your faults come to the surface, well, that's when a lot of people bail out. But this is not God's plan for authentic human love. It's going to require us to die to ourselves. I remember on our wedding day, there's a little boy sitting in the back of the church, and he's soaking in all the ceremony and liturgy. And he says to his dad, "Now, Dad, why is Kristalina there, my wife, why is she wearing all white?" And he said, "Oh, because today is the happiest day of her life, and she's just radiant." Kid said, "Okay." Well, then Dad, he said, "How come Jason's wearing all black?" And, you know, he kind of had a laugh, but there's something to this, that the black often in liturgy means death, that we need to die to ourselves for the love of our beloved. We've got to image Christ's love for his church. This is out of St. Paul's writing in Ephesians 5. He said, "A man shall leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh." We're supposed to be an image of Christ's love for the church. I knew of one groom on the day of his wedding. If you've ever been to a wedding reception, you're probably familiar with the custom where the bride sits down, the whole bridal party comes around her, and the groom kneels down in front of her, and he kind of starts to pull up her dress, and he pulls down off her leg the garter, which is a fabric around her thigh, and then he just throws it to a bunch of slobbering single guys who fight over it. Now, he didn't think that'd be the best way to introduce his bride to the family. So what he did is he had his bride sit down, and the whole wedding party came around. And he kneeled down in front of her, and then he pulled off her shoe, and then he pulled up a pitcher of water with a bowl, and he washed her feet in front of everybody, as Christ washed the feet of his bride, the church, on the night before he gave his life for her on the cross. And this groom was not putting on a show. This is literally how he thought his bride deserved to be served, as Christ loved the church.
All right, we'll stop there. So, what is the essence of marriage according to this video clip? Number one is total gift of yourself, giving a free and total love, holding nothing back from one another. Faithful love, not just with your body, but also with your imagination and your heart. Then fruitful love, open to the gift of life and not an imposition of the church or not to us, but the cry of our hearts for authentic human love. And the purposes of marriage, or purpose of marriage, is both procreation and education, from the word matrimony, the duty of the mother to bear and raise up children, mutual perfection and sanctification of the spouses, and the example of what the bridegroom did to wash the feet of his bride, and then becoming one flesh by dying to self, the illustrator wearing black, and so as to bear the image of Christ's love for the church. This is especially so for the men. Well, in this particular theological news and notes from Fuller Theological Seminary way back in 1973, Daniel Freeman actually answered the question, why get married? And he said, marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman intended by God to be a monogamous relationship, that is one man, one woman, intended to be a permanent bond until death separates us, in which many needs are satisfied, the need to love and to be loved, the need for deep friendship, for sharing, for companionship, for sexual satisfaction, for children, the need to escape loneliness, reflecting the love Christ has for his people, a bond of sacrificial love where husband and wife become one, one flesh, a unity. That leads me to the second ingredient that Dr. James Dobson wrote, and it is committed love. And according to Norman Wright, who is normally Wright, and Wes Roberts, they say a Christian marriage is a total commitment of two people to the person of Jesus Christ and then to each other. It is a commitment that, whereby there is no holding back of anything. Marriage is a pledge of mutual fidelity. It is a partnership of mutual subordination or submission. And Dave Willis, a best writing author, a best-selling author and public speaker and the host of the American TV show Marriage Today, actually said, a strong marriage reflects or requires two people who choose to love each other, oops, I beg your pardon, even on those days, sorry, backtrack, hello, somebody please help, backtrack, yes, hold on there, okay, even when on those days when they struggle to like each other, because there were sometimes you wake up, I don't feel like liking you or loving you. And then you wonder what happened. Okay, can we go on? Okay, fine. All right, next. So as we read just now, wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as it is fitting unto the Lord, Ephesians 5, and then husbands in the same way, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now please don't get the idea of saying, see, the Apostle Paul addressed the wives first. So wives, you start first. But if you look at the passage, actually, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul actually addressed the husbands more verses than to the wives. Wives, one time enough. For the men, we're gonna repeat that. And the higher calling or standard is as Christ loved the church. Of course, for the wives, it's as it is fitting unto the Lord. So it is a mutual submission that we're talking about. And of course, husbands, please, according to Colossians 3, which we read, do not be harsh with your wives. So domestic violence is definitely out, including harsh words. And therefore, coming to that, communication is the third ingredient for strong marriages, according to Dr. James Dobson. And here, again, I quote Norman Wright, communication is a process, either verbal or non-verbal, sharing information with one another in such a way that he or she understands what you're saying. The problem with a lot of marital communication is that I don't understand you anymore. Therefore, talking, listening, and understanding are all involved in the process of communication. The key problem, of course, is making yourself understood. So in the Focus on the Family survey on seasons of marriage, there was a quiz in 2020, and you look at the statistics, 36% of their spouse feel that their spouse is neglecting or is detached from them. Emotional distancing is very dangerous. So when you don't share, don't talk it out. 41% of the couples don't really talk or do things together or lead completely separate lives from each other. So, I already mentioned just now that this one, so I'll skip this. The problem with communication, look at this very old cartoon. All right, the guy says, I waited at the restaurant for you for an hour, Kathy. And then Kathy replied, Irving, you told me that you had plans for lunch. I assume that you were cancelling lunch. See where the problem lies already? Secondly, then the husband replies, Hello? I didn't say I had other plans for lunch. I just said I had other things to do. And what did the wife reply? How did she say? When you say you have other plans to do, it always means you are planning to not do the thing we plan to do. Sounds familiar? Then, if you thought I wasn't planning on lunch, why did you say see you later? Which I assume meant at the restaurant for lunch. And then the wife said, when you say see you later, sometimes I don't see you for a month. And so the poor doggy says, the gift of speech was given to the wrong species. So I want to offer to you these words, and I would like you to say the words in red. So the 9 most important words are, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. Of course, when the person says, please forgive me, say, I forgive you. Don't say, why should I forgive you, huh? You are Christian, right? So Jesus says, forgive in the Lord's Prayer, as He has forgiven us, etc., etc. Then now, the 6 most important words, why don't you go? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please admit it. Now, I know sometimes some counselors say, even if it's not your wrong, say sorry. I don't subscribe to that because it's very dangerous. You keep saying, oh, it's my fault, and then you cut short the conversation. Actually, you don't deal with the root of the problem. You just sweep it under the carpet. The 5 most important words, ready, one to go. You did it very well. Now, please turn to your spouse next to you, because if your spouse is next to you, and just say to her, you did it very well. Come on, one to go. You did it very well. Whatever she did just now, to you, or to say those words. Number 4, the 4 most important words, ready, one to go. What do you think? This is very important. What do you think? You may even say, how do you feel about this? What do you think? All right, sometimes you need to use those interchangeably. But this set of questions actually came from a particular source, so I'm going to quote it exactly. The 3 most important words, one to go. I love you. Well, that's very soft. Come on. Okay, you can say louder when you're at home. But don't say so loud at the MRT or, you can say in your car. The 2 most important words in a marital communication. Ready? One to go. Thank you. You know, it's so... And children actually picked it up, by the way. Some of you have children and maybe grandchildren. Because I move around in schools, I'm an educator, I go to chapel services and all that. I have found that many of our younger generation, again, I'm not blaming or judging the parents or the grandparents, they don't know how to say thank you. They don't even say thank you when somebody does something nice to them. And so we need to model that as husband and wife. A simple chore, thank you, even if your wife serves you a cup of water. Say, thank you, darling. The 1 most important word, ready, want to go. We, or you say us. It's going to come across as a unit, one flesh. Now, some people say, well, actually, the husband actually has only 15,000 words and the woman actually has 30,000 words a day. Well, actually, the latest research, in fact, not latest, way back in 2007, the originator of that phrase, a psychology professor at University of Arizona, already actually, she quoted that, right? And then after another best-selling author by Dr. Luann Bezendine, director of the Women's Mood and Hormone Clinic at the University of California at San Francisco, actually said that data or figure was based on unrealistic or unreliable data from a secondary source. And by the time she actually asked the publisher to remove it, it was already in its 13th printing. And therefore, it has been passed around. And so, women don't go around and start counting the number of words your husband is supposed to say. 15,000. Or the husband says, you finished your 30,000 already, stop talking. You actually have about the same, about 15,000 or 16,000 each a day. So as the Bible teaches us in the book of James, All right, this side, I want you to read the words in the white with a black background, and then this side on my right, you read the words in the red. Ready? One, two, go. Everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And this side, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a quick temper displays folly, says Proverbs 14:29. Well, so in the Chinese character, the word original character, well, the word listen has got all these components, and to sum it up really is true listening gives the other person our full respect or highest respect and undivided attention. So give that to your spouses, and then you will be able to have a strong or stronger marriage from now on, if not stronger, or if it's already strong, make it stronger, having a Christ-centered home, community, committed love, and effective communication. Not just communication, because communication can be faulty or bad, but it's good or effective communication. Let me conclude with this from Dr. Rob Renau, one of the D6 USA speakers who has been to Singapore too. He wrote this book, Visionary Marriage, and he says, generally speaking, as the man goes, so goes the marriage. As the marriage goes, so goes the family. And as the family goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. We're going to be celebrating our 57th, right? 57th National Day soon. And your church is into your 51st mission year. Let's relook, let's reestablish, let's rebuild or start building strong and stronger marriages for the glory of God. And there's further reading that I put, I think, in your hand, in the worksheet. And so, in closing, let's begin with that song, Household of Faith, which says, here we are at the start, and we want to build a household of faith that together, both the marital couple and those extended family and the singles and the widows in the church as a community, will build it strong. So that when the wind blows, it won't fall down. And all God's people say, Amen. Let's stand. Worship team is supposed to sing a lady, right? Yes. And if you are with your spouse, I encourage you to, in the second stanza, actually look into the eyes of your spouse with love. Because it says, now to be a family, we've got to love each other. At any cost, unselfishly. Okay, sorry. I'm not going to sing solo. Thank you. Ruth, go on.
His face,
and we'll build
a household. together we can make. And when the strong winds blow, we won't fall down. As one in Him we'll grow, and the whole world will know. We are a household of faith.
Yes,
we are a household of faith.
Let's go to God in prayer. And those of you who are couples, really pray for each other. Those of you who are not a couple yet or not married yet, pray for those who are married in this church. Bless them with divine wisdom from God, relevant knowledge from His Word, and precious and pleasant riches, memories for their rooms so that there will be understanding, mutual understanding, when they communicate with each other, when they commit to each other afresh with that Christ-centeredness. Lord, I pray right now for all marriages in this church, Grace SEC, the Lord, you will give them the power of your Holy Spirit through your word as they so desire to build or rebuild a strong or stronger household of faith. Here is our prayer, so we give you thanks. In Jesus' most precious name, and all God's people say, Amen. Thank you. God bless. Please take a seat.